Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is HempPresent. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for HempPresent, email me at HempPresent@gmail.com. Jeff the Dude Dowd is an American film producer and political activist. He was a member of the Seattle Seven who were jailed for contempt of court following a violent protest against the Vietnam War. He later moved to Los Angeles, became an independent movie producer and promoter, producing such films as Zebrahead. He met the Coen brothers while they were promoting their first film, Blood Simple. He was subsequently a key inspiration for their character, Jeffrey the Dude Lebowski, from the acclaimed movie, The Big Lebowski. 2011, Jeff was the subject of an 18-minute documentary short directed by Jeff Fairzieg, which was broadcast on USA Network as a part of its character series. Jeff is also the subject of today's show because I have him here with me right now. Welcome, Jeff, to Cannabis Radio.
Thank you guys so much. It's an amazing thing. I'm so sorry I was never in Seattle during Cannabis Festival, so of course I would have attended it.
No problem, man. No problem. So, dude, take us back. How did you become the dude? What parts of your real life story inspired the Coen brothers to create The Big Lebowski? And how did that even come to be? Where did the idea come from?
Well, I was one of the founders of the Sundance Institute and the Sundance Film Festival with my better half, Sonny Spidell, who's from Seattle, daughter of Bill Spidell, the Republican guy who started the underground tours. Sonny was originally named Shirley, but after 3 days, she was so cheery, they renamed her Sonny, even though they were Republicans, they weren't hippies. So that's how. So we were founders of the Sundance Institute, Sundance Film Festival. And the first year of the Institute, we had a weekend where we had filmmakers, it gave the filmmakers a chance to meet with producers and agents and those kind of people. And one of the guys who was there was trying to raise money for the Coen brothers' first movie release, Blood Simple. But and then we tried to get it distributed, but because if anybody's seen it, there's anybody likes it. They're all bad people. And so every distributor passed on it 3 times. So we finally took it out ourselves with a bunch of exhibitors, Bill Quigley from New York and Ted Pettis from DC and Novikoff from San Francisco, from LA and stuff like that, and Bob Lemley. And it was, semi-successful. While all that was going on, I was in Los Angeles with the Coens, and they seemed to think they could get some mileage out of some of my story. For those who've seen The Big Lebowski, I'll share some stuff. They put the White Russians in there. We might have drank White Russians for a couple of weeks when we were in college, like maybe all of you did. But the reason it's in there is the Coens could get many more sight gags and jokes out of a White Russian than they could out of a vodka soda. So that wasn't me, actually. Plus, they made the dude in the movie unemployed. I've never been unemployed for a second in my life. I've worked every day of my life. So that was in there to make for a better story. The rug wasn't my rug. It was the ties of the room together. It was their friend Peter, the professor. Pretty much a lot of this stuff is me. Let me share something about the Seattle Seven. It wasn't a violent protest per se. The reason the Seattle Seven were indicted is because President Nixon, warmonger, wanted to crush the anti-war movement, and he decided they were going to indict anti-war leaders in 41 cities. And Eagle Crow, who is the liaison from the White House to the FBI and the Justice Department, were both lawyers from Seattle.
Jeff Steinborn.
No, not Jeff Steinborn.
Oh, okay.
And they thought that it would be a good idea to do a test case in Seattle because it was remotely, it wasn't a media center. And Ehrlichman is who I'm talking about. He was the head of the Nixon's national security advisor, and Eagle Crow. So those two guys from the Seattle office decided it'd be good to indict us. The charges were total bullshit. They, one was crossing state lines to incite a riot, which read that we left Ithaca, New York on December 6th to arrive in Seattle December 18th to incite a riot on February 17th. Total bullshit. I mean, we weren't that planned out at all. The second one was conspiracy to destroy federal property, and which was also bullshit. There was a peaceful demonstration at the U.S. courthouse after the Chicago 7 trial, which was there, and we were attacked by the police, and a few windows were broken, and then people raced through downtown, and there was a little bit more window breaking by some people and stuff like that. But the reason I ended up going to jail is the charges were eventually dropped, by the way, but we had to hang out for 2 or 3 years to wait for them to drop them with mistrial and stuff. The reason I ended up going to jail is they moved the trial to Tacoma, so they would have a more rural jury, a more sophisticated Seattle jury. And our judge, Judge Bolt, was in league and talking every day to the Justice Department, which is totally illegal. The judge conspiring with the Justice Department to do stuff with us. So we decided, Michael Abels and I, one of the defendants, decided that we would present the judge with a Nazi flag for being a good German. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a Nazi flag. I'd never seen one. We had somebody from the Seattle Repertory make one up the night before. It's a very, very strong, impressive thing. So the good Germans were people that went along with Hitler. And so we presented it to Judge Bolt and put it over, draped this huge Nazi flag over his elevated bench, accusing him of being a good German for going along with the Vietnam War. He was the modern equivalent of a good German. For that, I got 6 months in jail.
Contempt?
Yeah, for contempt of court. And I served some of it at McNeil Island Federal Penitentiary, which is where Charlie Manson was. He wasn't there when I was there. And the rest of it, I was out in the Olympic Peninsula at a work camp, and we were the first 12 guys to fight any fire on the Olympic Peninsula, no matter where it was. We were there often many hours, half a day, before Department of Natural Resources ended up showing up. And so we were also planting trees and thinning, going up and down from 6,000 feet to 12,000 feet every day, carrying a gas tank, all kinds of equipment. It was major Stairmaster, getting paid by the Bullitt family, a warehouser, all of $1.29 a day. In other words, we were slave labor from the prison system. That was very prominent throughout the United States. It still is to some extent. So $1.29 a day for planting trees for warehouser and thinning, et cetera. So anyhow, that was my experience with contempt of court. I can't say I hated jail. It was very educational in many ways and very interesting in many ways. So that's the story of some of the story of the Big Lebowski and what happened with me and all that kind of stuff.
You mentioned the Chicago 7 trial, which was happening around the same time, during the Vietnam War. And of course, that was Abbie Hoffman and the Yippies, Youth International Party. I've actually had original Yippies individually on the show, the late Paul Krasner, Aaron Pyman Kay, and Dana Bill. So the Seattle 7, you were members of the Seattle Liberation Front, is that right? The SLF?
Yeah, we had, I think, 32 collectives that did different kinds of things. You know, one of them founded, where I just was today, Country Doctor, a clinic on Capitol Hill that didn't exist. But the different collectives did all kinds of different things that were really interesting to educate and to enlighten folks about all kinds of stuff. So, that was the Seattle Liberation Front. Were you around during any of that?
I was living in LA. I was only 12 in 1970. You know, it's funny because I don't know if you've seen the very popular series, The Last of Us, that's happening right now. And it's about, you know, a zombie takeover in the future. But they have the Washington Liberation Front is a radical group in that current series, actually. And so I thought that was funny. And it's kind of a throwback. And it's based in Seattle, right?
I look forward. I haven't looked at it, but I plan on looking at it very shortly.
I actually have a WSL WLS Washington Liberation WLF Washington Liberation Front decal on my truck. So quickly back to the Big Lebowski. There's a certain philosophy around the dude or dudism. Even, you know, what do you think about people adopting your laid back worldview as a life philosophy and you know, the kind of you know, fandom that is as the cult following, like Lebowski Fest, has all of this fandom and popularity surprised you over the years?
Yeah, I think it surprised everybody for a movie that didn't open very well and got mixed reviews by some. Some people, like Roger Ebert, gave it a mixed review and then saw it again and changed his mind. Sometimes when you look at the movie the first time, because it doesn't wrap up with an arc for the central character. And so people are let down a little bit. When they watch it the second, third, fourth, and 20th time, they enjoy it very much. And I guarantee right now as we speak, there's at least 3 Lebowski Fests going on around the world. And by the way, there's a dudism religion. There's 38 million followers.
Wow. That's just as fascinating. So you kind of touched on this, but your character, if I may, was played by Jeff Bridges. You know, Jeff Bridges is one of my favorite actors. Of course, he's the son of Lloyd Bridges. How much do you recognize yourself in the dude played by Jeff Bridges? And were there other people that also factored in as part of the inspiration of the character, the dude?
Guys, there,
Jeff, you're back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. So
you want to dig deeper on that question?
I'm gonna have to ask that question again. So give me 10 seconds. Shit. Jeff, you're back.
I'm here.
Oh, sorry. I saw a message. You left the meeting again. So. I'm sorry, 10 seconds, we'll start this over again. So Jeff, you kind of touched on this earlier. Your character, if I may, was played by Jeff Bridges, one of my favorite actors. He's also the son of Lloyd Bridges. How closely did you recognize yourself in the dude, in that character, number one? And number two, were there other people that were also partial inspirations of the character, the dude?
Jeff Bridges and I, by the way, were born within 2 weeks of each other. I was born in Northern California and he was born in Southern California. But that meant that a lot of the cultural things that were going on in the world, music and other stuff, we were both seeing the same day, you know, or same week. And so, you know, that was, you know, something we could both relate to. What was the second half of the question?
Were there other people that also played in as inspirations factored in to the character, the dude?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I mentioned that Peter was the guy who had the rug, the USC teacher. But I'm not sure about anything based on my character, but
sure. Yeah, it said that in the Wikipedia, which apparently was wrong about calling the Seattle 7 event a violent protest, mentioned that you were the primary character but not the only one or inspiration, but that's fine. Moving on, as we touched earlier, your career spanned more than just being the dude. What projects or causes are you most passionate about today? For example, what are Dude's Dream CBD products all about?
Well, Dude's Dream is, as you may know, there's a lot of medicinal stuff in cannabis that was illegal for years, and now it's legal in most states. And the Dude's Dream is CBD and THC mixed together. Sometimes it's just CBD. And we haven't tested it on 20,000 people, but we have lots of dozens and dozens and dozens of anecdotal examples of how it helped people. For example, the house I was living in, Marina Del Rey, California, there was a guitarist who was a friend of the person there who came by, and he couldn't play guitar because his wrist was fucked up. He put the ointment on his wrist, and within 5 minutes, he was Jimi Hendrix playing guitar. Okay. That's, I can give you dozens upon dozens of examples, anecdotal examples of how our Dude's Dream product. It's going to come out probably in September, possibly as early as July, but we have a team of amazing people, 18 people working on it. Okay. So it's going to be, there's a lab called Green Star Labs in San Diego, if you visit, which also makes stuff for Cheech and Chong and Snoop Dogg and stuff. An amazing laboratory. So, the Dude's Dream project is going to be fantastic. It's going to save thousands of lives and help millions of people, literally millions.
Okay. We only have a couple minutes left. Jeff, America's experiencing a fundamental right-wing government takeover with 90 years of progressive social advancement being rapidly eviscerated by this current administration, even reversing many traditional conservative positions in favor of a radical departure from pretty much celebrated American norms. As an old Seattle radical and California radical, what's your take on what's going on and where we appear to be going?
Well, the bad news is we all know, I don't have to tell you everything that Trump and Vance and all those, his staff of people do every single day that is hurtful to people, whether it's medical stuff or other stuff. The good news is because of the internet, we're all communicating, and there's not only hundreds of demonstrations against, ICE and stuff like that, arresting people. And also this election in New York, I think one of the reasons that Trump got in there is the Democrats, particularly Joe Biden, murderer Joe Biden, for helping. There's tons of dead kids in Gaza, thanks to Joe Biden. And the Democratic Party was such a bunch of sellouts that, of course, Trump got in there because they didn't stand for anything, and everybody knew that. And what happened in New York with Mondami gives an example of how he won in every single district, and he was only had like 5% 2 months before.
Might be a litmus test. We're running out of time, Jeff, but so you're hopeful.
Very, very, very hopeful, because we're all coming together to do things. But okay. it's going to be a real challenge. But
indeed it is, man. But I remain hopeful too. Jeff, I'm sorry that we're out of time. It's great talking to you, man. Thanks for you've been involved in so many things and connected to so many luminaries over the decades. Jeff, the Dude Dowd, thanks for taking time out to talk with me today, and best luck on all your future endeavors.
And Sonny's father, Bill Spider, used to say, I'd rather be lucky than smart. And the grateful dude abides. Thank you very, very much. And thanks for what you're doing with your book and all that. It's a fantastic book for anybody who hasn't looked at it.
As a fellow deadhead, man, carry on, my brother.
Thank you.
The Hemp Present intro music, 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Round, and the outro music today, Take Back the Plant by Sticker Bush. See you next time. Stay strong. Marijuana!